This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Today on Know-How,
it's SMD,
and we are totally freaking out. It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Ballas here.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to open up the soldering iron of knowledge and make everything smell like chicken.
That's right, right. If you smell chicken, you're learning.
You're right? Learning the hard way.
Yeah, that's usually how I learn.
Now, Brian, by now, the audience has noticed that we are not normally here at the Radio Corner. And when we do projects here at the desk, it's because it normally involves soldering or some other fine components.
Yes, something that we both like to shame ourselves at.
Yes. Because we can both solder. Neither of us can solder well.
No, but it just takes practice, right?
Yeah. And some knowledge. We're going to definitely need some knowledge on this one. Now, this is something that has been asked of us for a while because we've been doing mostly through-hole soldering and wire soldering, which there's an art to it. And you can make it look good. But the holy grail, the one that has eluded me for the longest time, is SMD. It's the surface mount technology, which it requires a bit more of a steady hand and a little bit more discipline on how much solder you just slather onto your components.
Yeah, that's true. You kind of have to have a fine touch. It's like working with jewelry or something, or like being a watchmaker is what I imagine.
Yeah. We had a question from Akita in our Google Plus group, and Terrence Clayton had this plea for us.
So Terrence asks, do you have any plans to demo SMD soldering? I purchased a couple of LED panels you showed off when you mentioned it on one of your soldering demos.
And actually, yes, we do. Terrence, thank you very much for asking. Now, the kit he's talking about is this. Anthony, if you go ahead and go to this link. We got this kit from Banggood. It cost about $10. Mm-hmm. It's nothing super productive, but the nice thing about it is it will teach you SMD. You will have a lot of opportunities to hone your skills. What I would suggest is you go ahead and buy a couple at that price.
Why would you say that?
At least buy two because you're probably going to mess one up. It's just going to happen. But this is part of the learning process. But Brian, in front of me right now, Anthony, if you go ahead and switch to this view, this is one of the very earliest. This is the reason why I said buy multiples because that's ugly.
So is it supposed to be bulbous solder?
Yeah, that's a design choice. It's an
art style, right?
This does not work. I took a lot of practice. But basically what I did was I used this to hone my SMD skills and I figured out what I can and cannot do. But in order to figure out what we should do, you know what I thought? I thought maybe
we need our soldering spirit animal.
Our soldering spirit animal. And folks, we all know that means Mr. Mark Smitty Smith. Smitty!
There he is!
Apparently your spirit animal is a moose.
He's a moose, some sort of elkish thing.
Elkish thing. I'm going to put that in my Twitter bio now.
Elkish thing. Those are knowledge horns.
Yeah, you know, the knowledge horns. It's when you really need that knowledge deep inside. Whoop. Knowledge horns.
They're there.
Smitty, SMD kind of freaks people out. It freaks us out, definitely, because we're talking about really teeny tiny components. We're talking about components that are normally picked and placed by machinery, not by human hands. Is it really as difficult as people think it is?
It is, no. I think it has a big stigma to it. I think a lot of people are freaked out about it because they don't understand it or something that they haven't had experience with. But once you learn a little bit of technique, it's a slightly different technique. Once you learn a little bit about the technique, and if you have the right tools, which are not that expensive, then you can do surface mount soldering quite effectively, quite easily, and it's doable. It is totally doable.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the right tools, because some people think you have to go out and buy a $2,000 Metcal, which would be nice. I'd love to have it.
I have one.
You've got one. We don't. We've got our little $80, what are these, Zenny soldering stations. They work fine. They actually do have an iron for SMD reflow. We're not going to be using it on this particular time. We just are going to use this. So we're using an iron with a rather fine tip. Actually, if you go to the overhead view, you can see it. Not super fine. And actually, some people do like the flat. I kind of like the pointed tip. What would you suggest for someone who's just starting?
I am a wedge tip fan myself, where you have that kind of the flatness there because it allows you to get a better contact. So if this is the pad, I'm going to try to angle my hand so you can see it. So if you're looking down at the board and this is the pad, the kind of the wedge tip allows you to come in and put a whole bunch of surface area. If you have a conical tip, you've only got that small surface area to transfer heat between the iron and the pad. So personally, I like wedge tips. The problem with wedge tips is that they are bigger, they are wider. So you need to get a very small wedge tip to be able to do surface mount.
Right. And if you did buy the Zenny because of our recommendation, you received an entire pack of tips. So you can just swap in and out which one you're using. I'm going to stay with my little conical tip just because it makes me feel cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're good tips. Yeah. I can't argue with it.
Also, the other thing you're going to need is a good pair of tweezers. I know it sounds really simple, but... No, seriously. I know people who tried to put SMD stuff by like placing it with your fingers. You can't. They will stick to the oil on your fingers. You will never get them into the right placement. You'll be frustrated beyond all belief. So, Anthony, if you take a look at this, what I recommend is getting something that has a little bit of an angle. It actually helps you to place the component without getting in the way of the soldering iron. Now, when we start doing this, what you're going to see is we're kind of tacking. We're going to go down and leave a dollop of solder on all of the pads on one side. And then rather than having to apply solder and the component at the same time, we're going to be able to reflow that solder and just kind of move the component back into it. And then we can tack the other side at our leisure. Smitty, that's the way that you taught me to do it, Smitty. Is that still the best way?
Absolutely. If you're not doing it with a stencil in an oven, if you're doing it by hand with an iron and tweezers, that is absolutely the way to do it.
Well, let's talk about that. How would I do this with a stencil and oven?
So, okay, that's a totally different technique. I don't do that for onesie-twosie boards that I'm assembling. All of my, let's put it this way, I have done a stencil precisely once, and that's because I was making 200 of a particular board. The way the stencil works is you have a board, and you have a very thin piece of stainless steel or Kapton or some other material that has little tiny holes cut in it where all the solder is supposed to go for the different pads on your board. And you lay the stencil on the board and you like squeegee over some solder paste, kind of like a silk screening on a t-shirt, right?
Very cool.
And then you pull the stencil off and you've got just little tiny pads of solder on the board. And it's just the right amount of solder. And then you can go in and pick and place components and put them into their pads, onto the pads where they go. And then you take the whole thing and you stick it in an oven and it just heats the whole thing up. All the solder kind of melts and the components just kind of go into their little blobs of solder, and you pull it out, let it cool down, and it's done. It's really good for doing bulk. If you've got a lot of boards you need to assemble that are all the same, if you're doing ones and twosies, it is generally more trouble than it's worth. And I still do them by hand.
Right. It sounds fun. I'd love to do that because the whole idea of getting everything in one shot is very appealing. But as you mentioned, the setup time, it does take a while because you got to get that stencil right.
Overkill for a little DIY project like this. Yeah.
But like, for example, you work on the DEFCON Darknet badge. I know you don't pre-solder everything, so it's a kit because it's a learning process. But if you were to do a whole bunch of those, you would use the stencil method?
Honestly, if I were to do a whole bunch of those, because we're talking in the thousands at that point, I would pay somebody else to do it. But yes, if I were trying to do that in-house, that would absolutely be a stencil job.
Okay, now let me ask about this, because people will buy these Zennies and they'll have this hot air gun. Now, I typically use this for the heat shrink. That's my favorite part. I know I could use this for SMD reflow. How would I use this? So this is digitally controlled. I can force out hot air at the exact temperature that I want. And again, this comes with different tips, but how would I use this on SMD?
So it's the same. It's a heat delivery mechanism is all it is. And so you're heating up air and blowing it over a chip or over a component, as opposed to using the iron. The big advantage to the hot air reflow is that you can heat up a whole bunch of pads at once. Those are less useful for the components like you're going to be doing, like the LEDs and the resistors and the components that only have two pads. But for chips that have a whole bunch of pads, or when they're in a square, like if you've put it in and it's already kind of soldered in place, but you need to kind of wiggle it around or something, the hot air reflow will let you heat up the entire thing at once and get everything melted, and you can kind of put it in place. You can't do that with an iron. An iron will only heat up maybe two or three pads if they're right next to each other. But to do an entire chip all at once, you need the hot air reflow.
Yeah. Now, if you go back to my overhead view here, Anthony, I will say one of the reasons why this is dead and it became a test board for me was the fact that I tried doing the hot air reflow. So I tacked one side and I had solder on the other pad. I'm like, oh, I bet I could just melt them all. Well, what happens if you don't aim that thing properly is you melt the other side. And then the components just kind of fall away. Off.
Oh, no.
Not fall off. Literally fly away. And they are tiny. So.
Yep.
And it's probably...
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I don't do hot air reflow on a two-pin device, because you will melt both sides and then there's nothing holding it on the board and it just goes... Okay.
And I'm guessing you probably don't want to do this over a carpet or like...
No.
Yeah.
But I did, and my carpet now has multiple SMB LEDs. They'll be there until I die.
Forever, yeah.
Now, actually, if you look on the other side, Anthony. So I would not use reflow on any of these. These are all resistors. That's resistors. Those are capacitors. But this is what Smitty was talking about. If I was placing my IC, and let's say I tacked that side and that side, so the top two corners, that IC is not going to go anywhere. And then I could just use the hot air gun to reflow the solder I had on these pads, and the pins would just kind of sink into the solder. That's probably one of my favorite parts of the SMD process, when you kind of just see it just tack in really quickly.
I want to correct you very briefly. The reflow, the hot air rework iron generally, it's called rework because you don't generally use it to put a component in the first time. You use it to take a component out, or if it's jagged or whatever, and you've got a whole bunch of solder in there, you use it to heat up things that have already been soldered on that you need to rework.
Hmm. Well, that would explain why it was really good at removing all those LEDs.
Yes. You generally don't want to use it to put something on. You want to use it to adjust it or take it off.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and open up the kits. Brian, I gave you a brand new kit. This is my demolition kit, but I've got the new one here. This is what the clean board looks like. One of the things that you're going to want to identify, and this is in the instructions, although I got to tell you, the instructions that come with these kits, not so much of the greatness.
What are you talking about? Is this the instructions here?
Yeah. If you go to Brian's camera, you can see what they look like. That's
a little
on the sketch side.
A little thin.
I will say, if you come back to my camera, when you line up your board, by the way, we're using these circuit board holders so that it's really easy to flip them back and forth and then hold them in place. Where the printing is, I use that as the bottom of the board, and the negative is on the right side, and the positive is on the left side. It doesn't really tell you that. Just know that that's true. And in fact, I'm going to show you that it's true by going back to my junk board. So here's my junk board. And I'm going to use my wonderful Zenny power supply, variable power supply. I'm going to push about 1.5 volts. And I should be able to light up at least a few of these. Got to find the ones that are
not
red.
Blown out yet.
And I know. It's kind of sad, but it's true. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, bumping up the voltage.
There we go. So this is the negative side, and that's the positive side. Some of these still work. Also, something else, and this is another reason why this one doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You have to put all of the same color LEDs in one row.
That makes sense.
I mixed them before I read the part of the instructions that said, do not mix them. And it worked really well once.
Oh.
For about 3 seconds.
See, even if it worked, I feel like it would be really hard to read for its intended purpose.
It was going
to
look cool, Brian. It was going to start off at red, and then it was going to start off at blue, then go to green, then go to red.
I see. So like you're hitting a limiter or something
right.
like that.
Right. But what my brain did not realize or did not remember at 3 o'clock in the morning was, Smitty, and you can tell us about this, LEDs don't use the same voltage. So different colors use different voltages.
Well, they have different forward voltages is what it's called. And so the way an LED works is that it has a fixed forward voltage. And when you go above that forward voltage, it'll start passing current. But like a wire, it has very little internal resistance. So if you give it a lot of voltage above its forward voltage, it will pass a heck of a lot of current. And so typically you have to put a resistor, so you have the LED here and you put a resistor in series with it. And that resistor across the whole voltage will set the amount of current that goes through there. You need to choose your overall voltage correctly based on the forward voltage of the diode and how much current you want to go through the diode you set the resistor to set that value, and all of that works out beautifully. If you have a different forward voltage on your LED, then you need to have a different value of resistor to set the amount of current to go through.
And that's what I did, except I did it with blue smoke. And so I released the blue smoke, and that limited the current.
Current will go through. Yeah, that's true.
It was no
it's
more
a fail safe.
No more current. The blue smoke, it did its job. It's so sad. I did abuse this board. And that's the reason why I kept it. I didn't keep it just as a demonstration. I kept it to show what happens when I do a bad job. This is a soldier down.
That's good to know. So if I mess up,
there's
natural.
No shame in messing up. There's a reason why I bought five of these total.
Good. We call them learning experiences.
Yes. And thankfully, it's a cheap learning experience. I may have done something similar to a $600 kit.
Oh.
Good decisions come from experience. Experience comes from bad decisions.
Yes, they do. All right, let's go through the components. So you're going to get several strips of SMD LEDs. So this is red. The one that was in here is blue, and this one is green. Now, Smitty, why is it that these come in this weird packaging? So it looks as if they've been sealed into these little plastic, almost like bracelets. What's the deal with that?
So that is called a tape. And the whole point of it, you'll notice that there's a hole in the plastic that kind of is, remember like the holes on the side of the old movie films?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They were the holes that were used by a wheel that would actually advance the film through the machine,
like
right?
A dot matrix printer. Same,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a dot matrix printer. Yeah. So the exact same thing is happening here. So these are designed to go into a pick-and-place machine. A pick-and-place machine is a machine that's got a whole series of these tapes of components, and it knows what component is in each tape spot, and it can peel back this plastic and just kind of keep peeling it off and advance the tape by one component every time. And then it's got this little tiny suction cup that comes over and picks up the component. It knows where the component is, what type of component it is, where it's supposed to go on the board, and like a, you know, XY 3D printer kind of style, it goes exactly to the right spot on the board, plops it down on top of the solder that you just squeegeed on with a stencil, and then releases it, moves over, grabs the next part, and just keeps going and picking and placing all the components for you.
Right. Now, you will notice, Anthony, if you go back to that shot there, this does have polarity. And I know it's kind of difficult to tell on this particular camera angle, but one side of the LED is notched and has a green mark. So it's actually telling me which side is positive and which side is negative. You're gonna definitely want to read the instructions, then, Brian, to make sure that you place these properly.
Yeah.
Because once you solder these in, you're not going to really want to remove them to swap them around.
No.
Not that many of them anyway.
Yeah. The other thing is, I got to ask you this, Smitty. Mm-hmm. When I was doing my original version, I just peeled the plastic off and kind of dumped them into a tray. Is that the best way to remove it out of this? Because it's very easy to accidentally like snap the string.
Yep.
And then they go everywhere. What's your way?
So I will hold the thing and I will kind of peel the plastic off and just pull the plastic to uncover as many as I know I'm going to need right now. And then I very carefully kind of tap the plastic to have them drop out on the table. And then I will move it away and, you know, not pull off the cover anymore. Because you're right. I have had too many times where I've accidentally flung them and they go flying across the room. And that's
they
never fun.
They fly really far, by the way.
They really do. There's not a whole lot of wind resistance on an 805.
Now, we also have other components here. So, of course, there's this. This is the tiny little speaker so that we can actually hear the music that's being passed through the device. And then this is everything else. So we've got a couple of components in here. Of course, we've got some capacitors. We've got this. That's the IC, the custom IC that's doing all of the analysis. So it looks at the incoming DAC. What is it? No, this. So this is DAC and an analyzer. Analog to digital.
ADC.
This is an ADC and also an analyzer, which will drive the logic. And then these are just resistors, different resistors of different values. This is also designed to be in cartridges, right? This is like tape.
Yep. Yeah, that's the same kind of tape.
So we're doing the job that a machine should be doing. Is that?
Yep.
You know, do you want to be replaced by machines?
But yes.
When it comes to things that are this tedious and I had to do 1,000 of them, yes.
But it's kind of fun. All right. So
how you learn, Brian.
This is how you learn. The first thing that Smitty taught me to do before he said, no, that's bad and you should feel bad, was when I'm dealing with
I'm
SMD,
never going to live that down, am I?
No. That will always come back, we want to put solder on just one of the pads, right? Why not both?
Because you can't go in with your soldering iron and heat both of them up at the same time.
It won't sit flat if you did both.
Right. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a blob of solder on one, or not a blob, sorry, as little solder as possible on one of the pads. It will solidify, and we're actually going to do the entire board, right? We want to prime the entire board at the same time.
Let's start out with just doing one at a time, so that you get the process and the technique, mm-hmm. and then once you've kind of figured out how to do it all, then you can go in and do a whole bunch at the same time. But you don't have to do like all the the LEDs in this one row, do one side, and then go and do the other side of that row. You don't have to do it that way.
Okay. Now you'll notice that here at KnowHow, we don't see color, which is why my board is white mm-hmm. and Brian's board is not
like,
white.
It's so, like a retro 70s.
Yeah, so you'll know which one is which by which one has the white color and also which one's on fire. Mine will probably be smoking.
They might both be on fire. And at that point, the color won't matter.
The color won't matter. All right. So go ahead and grab your soldering iron and grab your solder. Smitty, which side should we place it on? So we've got a left pad and a right pad. Is there one that's better?
I always like it. So for me, I am a left-handed solderer. So I have this iron in my left hand, and I will put the tweezers in my white hand. In my right hand. And so I will put the solder on the pad by the left side, because that's where my soldering iron is. But it all depends on which hands you use for which things.
Yeah, I'm right-handed, so I'm probably going to be holding the iron with my right hand. So I should put the pad. I should tin the right pad so that I can hold the tweezers with my left hand.
Correct.
Right? Okay. So all of the same little tidbits hold for this. I'm going to put a tiny dollop of solder on my iron just so that the heat is going to transfer well enough. And let's see. We do want to heat the pad and not the solder, just like so. And that's it, right? I mean, we really don't want much more than that.
Nope, that is exactly right.
In fact, what I did on the first one, which is why it was so messy, I put such a big dollop of solder on the first one, I just kept touching that and going down the line.
Oh, jeez.
That's how much there was. So literally, I mean, you can really get into a groove here. Once you kind of get in the groove of laying it down, like that's way too much right there.
Get into like a zen sort of mode.
Yeah, like my solder zen mood. Oh, Smitty, when you're doing this, how quickly do you typically go?
Oh, I can go pretty quickly. I will point out that you also have a pretty large bore solder there, which is going to make it difficult to put just a little tiny bit of solder on a pad at a time.
It wants to put a whole bunch.
So now I'm looking at my board. I feel like if I did the left pad before I did the right pad, it would be easier.
No, go ahead.
No, you're right.
You do the way it's good for you, man.
I'll be holding the LED in the tweezers.
So I've got the tweezers on my left hand, and I've got the soldering iron on my right.
Okay.
So show me, Brian.
Show me
what you got.
Show me what I... Oh, boy. Okay.
All right, so you can do it, man.
I'm going to lean away from the mic here real quick.
Lean in. By the way, audience, before you get too critical, remember, Brian and I are trying to do this as we're also trying to podcast.
So...
It adds a level
of... Other side, Brian. Other side.
Oh, no.
That's okay. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Do it to the next one. But do it to the side where you have the soldering iron so that,
Right. That makes sense.
You know, what I find is...
There you go.
It helps me to think of something else while I'm doing this so I don't concentrate too much. So typically I like start reciting lines from Dragon Ball Z or Futurama.
You do that even when you're not soldering.
I know. All right. So, I'm slowing down a little bit for you, Brian, because I don't want to get too far ahead.
Cold joint. Go back. Nope. One up. There you go.
Okay. That's a good point. How do you know it's cold when it's too much of like a ball bearing?
No. Well, the ball bearing just means that you put too much solder on there. It's cold if you don't see it flowing throughout the metal. In fact, the one in the upper left, the second down from the third row. Yeah, that one there looked a little cold too.
What I've done is I'll go back over my work and just kind of reheat and reflow just to make sure that you're actually going all the way through. Obviously, you don't want that. You want to get it right on the first time. But does that mean I just didn't put enough heat onto the pad?
Yes. So do not be afraid to leave the soldering iron on there for 2, 3, 4 seconds.
Right, because there's no components on this yet.
No, you really want to make sure that everything gets nice and hot so that all the solder flows real cleanly.
You hear that, Brian? Nice and hot.
What kind of solder is this?
We are using the nameless brand solder.
Kester?
Kester is not nameless brand. The Kester is good stuff.
Yeah, that's what we're using.
Is it leaded solder or Rojas, lead-free?
It tastes real good, so it's probably got lead.
It's probably got lead in it.
Yeah, it says 60% tin, 40% lead.
Okay, so you have leaded solder, which means that your European listeners are going to be shaking their fists at you going, you're killing the environment, but it's going to solder a heck of a lot easier.
And really, that's what matters. I mean, I love the environment, but I really, really hate cold solder joints.
Yeah.
But Bert keeps trying to give me his tools. He just gave me a sodapult.
Are we angering you, Bert?
Burke's watching us in the back room going, these guys don't know anything.
He wants to come over. He's backseat soldering right now.
Padre, do a little bit less solder on each of those. They still look a little bulbous.
Okay. Well, I'll just do this. I'll take away some of the solder.
So I'm going to hand you my board, Padre, so you can show Smitty and he can tell me if I'm putting too much solder on mine. Because I think with my camera, it's too far away.
Okay. So this is Brian. What do you think, Smitty?
Actually, it looks really good.
Shut up, Brian.
That's the whole reason why I wanted Padre to show it off.
Damn it! That was planned! I don't care. I'm not listening to you guys anymore.
Yeah, well, we'll see what
the end product is. I'll send you the invoice for the payoff on that one, Brian. I'll send you the invoice a little later.
Okay, yeah. So I put a lot of solder. I gave Brian the really fine solder.
Oh, that must be it.
That actually does help. I like mocking Padre every chance I get, but no, that one actually is legit.
Padre, you did a bad job. You should feel bad.
And you should feel bad.
You should feel bad. Okay, so so what I'm doing is I'm actually going over the old bulbous parts, and I'm reflowing it, and that will put a little bit of the excess on the iron, and then I can just go to the next pad and apply it.
I don't generally recommend that as a preferred way of doing this, but as a
A Smitty mocked me, so now I must do this, that it works really well.
I mean, that's not how I'm doing it, Padre, if you want to do it that way,
wow.
You do you.
Wow.
You do you.
Okay, all right. Okay, it's on. Let's do this. Oh my gosh.
Now Padre's getting serious.
Oh yeah, okay. You want to go down this way, Brian?
I'm only on the third
challenge
row.
Accepted.
Just wait till we get to the backside when you have to start soldering ICs and capacitors. Oh, by the way, Smitty, I found something out the other day. If you allow someone to come into your lab and put together a kit and they're soldering a capacitor and they leave the iron on the capacitor too long, the capacitor actually explodes.
What kind of cap?
It was just like this big. It was actually a decent size electrolytic cap.
Oh, electrolytics?
Yeah.
I've never seen an electrolytic explode due to heat, but it wouldn't surprise me. Wow.
It was just, because I came back in and he was like wiping things. I'm like, what happened? He goes, I don't know. The cap just exploded. I'm like, okay. I think we're done here.
Is that a situation of your soldering's bad and you should feel bad? Things are exploding?
No, you know what? He was learning and I was helping him to learn, and then I told him to get the heck out of my lab. All right, so let's say this is what I got. So I've got the first half of the board. Maybe it's time to start placing some of this stuff, Brian.
Yeah, I want to.
So the audience some action.
Yes, let's get excited. Okay,
put away the iron. Make sure that you wipe it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wipe it down.
Always clean your iron.
Otherwise, clean tips. They end up looking like this if you don't clean them.
Ooh,
yeah, it's not a good look. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start with blue. So I'm going to have blue on up and down this first row. So you say probably my best thing here would be just peel back the plastic.
That's the way I do it, but you have to be very careful, like you said, to not accidentally flick the black part of it, because they will go flying. I usually make sure it's pointed down as I'm pulling off the clear plastic lid so that if it flicks anywhere, it's going to flick down onto the table right where I'm collecting them.
Got it. And if you go back to this camera, so this is the job that Smitty is laughing at. Yeah, I put way too much solder on some of these bamajamas. I'm sorry about that.
It kind of looks like somebody punched it, you know, like it's missing teeth or something.
Wow. Okay.
You solder bad, Padre, and you should feel bad.
I get it. Oh, man.
It's like it fell out of the soldering tree and hit every solder on the way down. Like,
you're just... Okay, you know what? We're not friends anymore, Hippo.
So sorry.
Oh, by the way, one of your LEDs are replaced with an exploding component. Have fun with that.
Well, it's the capacitor that the other guy had in the lab.
Exactly. Oh, you know what? I got away. I just used the tweezers.
Okay. Yep, exactly. That's how I do it too.
This is, you know, I should actually make a machine. We'll 3D print a machine that will actually advance and punch out components one at a time, so you could just like hit a button and it will advance to the next one.
I don't know how you're supposed to tell.
They have those.
Oh, they have. Well, then I don't have. Well, no, but mine's going to be better because it will have LEDs that
absolutely
that blink.
Holy, that little green dot is so hard.
Well, that's why I got got these for you. Well, Burke got those for you, and I have this one, so you can. Yeah, can you see it?
It's not easy with these glasses in the way.
I thought those. Oh, never mind. Nope.
Try it with these. I don't know if this is going to help.
All right. While Brian is doing that, let's go ahead and take a moment to listen to these messages.
Previously on Twit.
And I basically made a 3D map of the whole world. You can basically go everywhere and show the map. The map.
I was at Machu Picchu. Yeah, can you go to Machu Picchu? Man, you would have saved me thousands of dollars if I had this.
Tech news today.
Hey, graphic designers. A robot is about to steal your job. According to Inc. magazine, Nutella used an algorithm to redesign its packaging, and it was a smashing success. Using machine learning, the company was able to create unique designs for 7 million jars with no two labels alike.
Know-how.
We finally gave into it. I'm sorry, folks. After a lot of requests, we made ourselves some spinners. Why buy one for $7 to $10 when you could build one for like $30?
That's right. As long as you have a 3D printer.
So really, it's like $330.
If you have a 3D printer laying around, this is a fun project to do with it.
Twit. Some assembly required.
That's really cool. That's a nice looking label.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Nutella on a technology podcast because of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I never saw that coming. And it's also really good.
Nutella's allergic, so
no.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin's a little buzzkill, Kevin.
And we are back. Okay, so I've got my little starter lead here. So, Anthony, if you go over to my overhead, I'm going to follow your instructions. I'm turning it down. So if these do go flying, they're going to fly into the mat rather than into my hair and, you know, the carpet behind me. Okay. So let's see if this works. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Look at that. What? Oh.
Oh.
Now you've done it.
Oh.
Okay, so I lost a few. That's okay. I'm sure they gave me spares.
It looks like dandruff.
Sure they did.
They did not. Actually, there's like two spares. So you can lose maybe one before you're in trouble. Okay, and there we go. All right, so those are all my blue components. It's okay, Bert. You don't have to refocus it. I'm going to be moving these over here. And I know you can't see it, but let's see if I can get it with this. Wow. One of those sides is notched. And the notched gives me the negative side.
Like, rather than releasing all the LEDs at once, would it be easier to just like cut it with scissors and do a few at a time?
You know, you could try doing that.
I do not recommend cutting them with scissors because then you have to restart the tape every time.
Okay.
The way I do it is if I've got like a big roll of components, I will do what Padre just did, but only pull out the number of components that I need. Mm. And then you've got like, you know, this kind of coil of clear plastic and this coil of black on the other side. Mm. And then what I'll do is I'll cut off the excess, but I'll leave like two or three components worth of, you know, kind of unconnected parts so that it's easy enough to grab that plastic and pull it out.
Okay. Lady just told you no.
I just want to know. I'm asking questions.
Oh, dang it. That's the other thing. These are really small. So when you're grabbing them with tweezers, do not put too much force because they'll just squirt away. All right. I don't see. You took the cool goggles. So
you go ahead and use those.
I don't know which side is which here.
Good.
I think the green side is negative, right?
That's the point.
The marked side is usually the cathode, which is negative, so yes.
Okay, so this is backwards. So let's turn this around.
The green pole.
Wow, I actually managed to turn it 180 degrees. That was 360 degrees. That was awesome. Okay, good. Okay, so I've got my green side in the right spot. Oh, look, you can actually see that on the camera. So there's the little tint of green.
So green on the right.
Green on the right. And remember, we know that negative is on the right. Ground is on the right. And the hot side is on the left.
Okay.
So, Smitty.
Yes?
Help me, Smitty Wan Kenobi.
Okay. So, grab your tweezers.
Okay.
Pick up the component. Very gently. Okay. Come in with your soldering iron. Oh, now you've done it. You flipped it over.
Is that flipped over?
Yes, it is.
Look, it looks like a play button.
Smitty's on Skype and he can tell.
It looks like a diode.
It does look like a diode. Oh, which, by the way, it is. Oh, by the way, Smitty, exactly. could you remind the folks at home what a diode is?
A diode is... You're just going to lose that crap all over the place, aren't you?
I think that's right. Yeah?
So
yeah.
A diode is a semiconductor device that allows current to flow one direction and not the other. When you're looking at the schematic diagram, it flows in the direction of the arrow. And unfortunately, the arrow is on the bottom of this component. So notice how he heated up the solder, moved the LED into place, and then removed the soldering iron. You might want to do that again. Hold the iron in place for about 3 seconds because you really want to make sure that everything gets plenty hot for all the solder to flow to all the components. Okay,
and that's actually probably good. Good point, because when I did that again, I heard it kind of snap, and that was the component actually hitting the board.
Yeah.
So it wasn't completely flushed on the first solder. Oh.
Oh.
Son of Martok. You know how I said there's probably a spare? Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta be let's hope there's a spare.
Okay. Not as easy as it looks, folks. Okay. I've got a mic in front of me and I'm trying to do it on camera.
You make it look so easy. So
you've got a mic in front of you. You're trying to do it on camera. And these are 805s, which are most electronic nerds will say 805 is totally doable, but I'll be honest with you. I do everything in 1206s. And the 1206s are about 50% again as big as these.
Look at Brian. Look at Brian for a while. Go to Brian.
No, don't go to me because I'm going to try and do that top one where I soldered it on the wrong side, I think.
Are you switch soldering?
Yeah.
I'm like, stop it.
So I was gonna try to do this one, but it's green is on
Whoa,
the right.
Show me those tweezers. No.
Are you kidding me?
Fine tip ones if you can, yeah. Those are way too big.
When you're done, Padre.
Oh, you want mine? You've got like four tweezers there.
I think that there's... Maybe these ones will work better. Here, I'll show you, Smitty. What do you think of these ones? These ones look like they could work.
Yeah, that'll be good.
We got it, Burke. Oh,
Burke is just Burke is sighing so heavily as we're doing this.
Oh, Burke is recommending that you put a little scotch tape down on a piece of magnetic board, and then you can
pick them off. Nice.
You know, Burke, he knows things.
Burke knows his stuff.
So negative on the right side is what we have.
Oh, by the way, we have had a request. People wanted to know what Burke's last name is. It's Burkington.
Burke Burkington.
And his middle name is Burke, so it's Burke Burkington.
The third.
Okay, what's your name, sir? Fletch. Full name, please. Fletch, F. Fletch.
All right, so when I do this, I don't yet want to do the other side, right? I want to do all the components down the row, and then I can hit the other side?
That is up to you. If
Would
I'm
you
only doing
do
one
that,
or two at a time...
I want to.
I would
do
that, yes, because I know what I'm doing. Honestly, for you, I would go in and like tack the other side just so that you have a couple of components to demonstrate.
Slam.
Wow. Okay.
My out loud voice again.
Wow. Jeez. Hey, and I hear Burke laughing down the hall. So that's awesome.
You can't categorize that as a laugh. That was a cackle.
That was a cackle.
That was a cackle.
He did just cackle. All right. So, like so.
Okay, so this is going to be tough to see, but I soldered the...
There you go.
So I soldered it, but from my point of view, it looks like it's angled up a little.
That means it's not flush against the board.
Yeah, it's not... So should I... If
it's not critical for it to be flush against the board. Okay. That is to say, it won't prevent it from working if it's not flush against the board.
Okay.
As long as the solder is good and hot and flowed between the pads on the device and the pads on the board, then it should be all right.
Okay, I think I'm good on that.
If you want to make sure it's flush on the board, what I'll do is when you go in, you know, so you've got your tweezers with a component over here, you got your soldering iron over here, you reheat the solder, go in with a component. Mm-hmm. You know, leave it there for a second, pull off the soldering iron, let it cool, continuing to hold it with the tweezers. Then once it's cooled down, I will take the tweezers off and use them to kind of gently push down on the component, come in and reflow the solder again. And sometimes it will already be flush, but if it's not, then you kind of hear it go ka-thunk.
Yep, that's the
and
little
then
click
you
I
can
like.
Pull the then you pull the soldering iron out, hold it there, let it solidify, and then pull it out.
Okay.
And that will make sure that the component is flush with the board.
Okay. Give that a shot.
Not on that one, though, because you've already soldered both sides, so you're not going to be able to do it with that
one.
You haven't done that side yet?
No.
Then you're in good shape. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, go, Brian. Come on, do it. Come on, Brian. What? Come on, Brian. Yeah, it's easy, huh? Huh, Brian? Huh? Make it look good. It better look good. Otherwise, Smitty's going to laugh at you, and then Brooks can come over here and cackle.
Well, let's be honest. I'll probably laugh anyway.
Okay. So it's flush now. It's a little little angled off, but it should be all right.
It'll be all right.
You did a good job, and you should feel good.
Yay! Now I only have like 200 more to go.
Yeah, it's gonna take a little bit of time. So what I'm doing is I'm actually lining up a bunch of the components at once, which is probably hubris because I'm going to bump it and they're all going to fall off.
Oh, God, Padre.
I know.
It's a pencil?
But you know what? I'm doing this. You know why? Because Brian made fun of my soldering, and now I want to make him feel bad. You know, this show, 50% of know-how is Brian and I just making fun of each other. We all know that, right? I mean, let's acknowledge that truth.
I think it's probably closer to 75 or 80%.
Yeah. But when we have Smitty here, suddenly we've got, you know, a referee.
And I've got Burke giving me little tips on the side, too.
Of course, we've had Smitty tell Brian that he's the prettiest, so whatever.
It's true, he is.
Thank you. It's nice to hear, you know. I think it loudly. But
you think it loudly? Nice. You're both the prettiest.
Aww. Now he's just trying. He's setting us up for when he really
Oh, by the way, I like neither of you.
You're pretty, so you don't have to worry about being good at soldering.
Oh, wow.
God, no. Don't even. No.
No, this is fun. I'm enjoying this.
I'm having a great time.
I'm totally not nervous about losing all of these LEDs.
So I am impressed that you guys started with a kit that is this large, because that is a lot of components.
Impressed is another word for wow.
It also might just be, you can say it, Smitty, you guys are really stupid for starting with a kit this large.
I was going to say ambitious, but yeah.
Everything we do on Know How,
you know what,
ambitious.
Smitty, I guarantee I will be done with this before the end of the episode.
Wow.
That's going to be a long episode.
No, because when we go to the pre-record, I'm going to zoom solder. You don't realize how fast I could go once the camera's not on me.
Oh, that's true.
Which is total BS, by the way.
We'll find out, won't we?
We're gonna find out in just a bit. All right,
it's going to be like the cooking show. It's like, well, I just happen to have one of these roasts in the oven right now that's ready to come out.
Yeah, that's the secret to any DIY. Now, Smitty, what are some other little secrets that you can give to people who are just trying to do SMD? Because this could be incredibly frustrating. I mean, we're having fun here because, you know, we're making fun of ourselves. But, I mean, I have sat and tried to do SMD by myself, and losing a component or having a component snap off or just getting bleary eye because you're staring through a magnifying glass can just wear on you.
So start out, if you're just getting started out, try and find kits, or if you're designing your own kit, get a kit that uses a relatively large component. 1206s are a kind of the larger end of the common size of components. By the way, the number is the 1206. The 12 is, I think, 120 thousandths of an inch in one dimension and 60 thousandths of an inch in the other direction.
So small.
So I think that's how that works out. But yeah, 1206s are a heck of a lot bigger than what you've got right there. I think. I actually honestly don't know what size those are, but they look awfully small.
These are pretty small. In fact, my eyesight is not as good as Brian's because I'm an old person.
Right. So wait, have you seen my glasses?
I hope I'm soldering these in the right place.
Yeah. So if you're just getting started, again, the tips are use a fine tip soldering iron, use a fine tips tweezers. If you can get a small diameter solder, that is very helpful as well.
That really would have helped.
In the U.S., leaded solder is available still and is going to be a lot easier to use.
By the way, our international viewers, I'm willing to send you some lead.
You know, just don't ask, don't tell, right?
Actually, I'm pretty sure it wouldn't make it through customs.
Dude,
I think they actually
clean off that tip, man.
Okay, yeah, it's bad.
Get your tip clean. Come on.
I'm just looking at like a giant blob waiting
for
it to fall.
You have a better view of it than I do because you can see through the telephoto lens. I can't see Jack. I'm soldering blind.
That's probably true. What other tips? Don't be afraid to keep the soldering iron on a pad to let things flow. You know, you don't want to go for more than like 5 or 10 seconds, right? But don't think you have to like go in and get back out really quickly, right? Keep it in there long enough to let the solder flow to things. That is, cold solder joints are the mistake I see most often, right? Too much solder can be dealt with. Not enough solder can be dealt with. Cold solder joints are really the death of any assembled electronic.
You just have to be careful of not putting the iron on the component itself, right? Like burning out the LED.
Not on the non-metallic parts of it, yes.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I can touch the pad, and I'm putting 2.7 volts through the pad, because these are blue LEDs, they should light. Light, 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 light. Okay, so that's good. That part's good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think.
That third one from the top looks kind of pointy.
I can't tell. Does it? Is it? Hold on.
Put your finger.
Oh my gosh! Oh wow!
That's at an
angle. Holy wow! Okay,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's
like vampire teeth.
You're a bad solderer, and you should feel bad.
okay. Yeah, wow, that was actually pretty bad.
But you're still pretty. Don't worry.
That was impressive. I mean, that was impressive in its incompetence. And because I have both sides, it's not going to be as easy to fix.
Yep.
That's good job. Good job, me. Well done.
Can I pass mine over to you and get a close look at it? On the
you
camera?
Just want Smitty to say yours is better.
Well, so the top one I soldered both sides, but then the three down below, I've only done one side. And I'm fairly certain that the negative side is on the right.
Actually, that looks kind of good, Brian. Okay, you know what? I'm with Smitty. You're better at this than I am.
Well, I think what Brian is doing a better job of not putting too much solder on.
Right? Well, you do have that really thick solder over there, I guess.
Well, you know.
Just saying. Girthy solder over there.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
sorry,
okay.
We're so immature.
Hey, so, Smitty, we got a special treat for you because, you know, we were talking about doing this by hand. Although these components were designed to be put into cartridges, what if I told you that it was possible to get a pick and pull machine for like a tenth of what it used to cost?
A pick and place machine?
Pick and place, pick and pull, yeah.
Because when I think of pick and pull, I think of like trying to get engine parts out of the junkyard. Yeah. okay, you can get a pick and place for one tenth of the former industrial cost. What do you have in mind?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe something like this. This is where the pre-record goes in.
The chip setter.
Hey makers, do you know your way around a soldering iron? Because if you do, then most likely you've bought components in those spools, those long spools that seem to, you know, they do a really good job of holding small components, but you might have wondered what those spools are for. Well, here at Maker Faire, we know exactly what they're for because we're at Chip Setter and we're finding all about the Chip Setter 1. Now, what is the Chip Setter?
Chip Setter 1 is a low-cost pick-and-place machine. These machines are used to pick up these tiny components and place them exactly where they need to go on the circuit board before the reflow process. These are the types of machines that are used to build every electronics device, whether a phone or a computer motherboard, except they're usually very, very expensive.
Tell me a little bit about the specs. How many spools can I stack? How many different types of components? How complicated can I make my circuit board?
So we accept components down to a 402 size or 0.4 millimeter pitch ICs. And our system can accept up to 48 millimeter feeders. We also have 12 and 16 millimeter feeders. And you can mix and match them. We have a continuous strip where they can be connected. But really what we want to do is solve two problems. A setup time problem and a software reliability and ease of use. The way we want to solve the setup time problem is having feeders that are so cheap, you can have one per reel in your inventory. So when you're setting up the machine, you're not fiddling with loading tapes in, you're just snapping them in.
On a typical project where I might be using, say, 10 different types of components, a couple of resistors, a couple of capacitors, a few different types of LEDs, how quickly could I go from drawing to prototype?
Well, the main thing you'll need to do is create your manufacturing data. But the nice thing is that you've already got that information in your CAD software. So your CAD software will export two files, a centroid file and a bill of materials file, which are simply imported into our software. From there, if your feeders are attached and you've told the machine what is in each feature, in each feeder, you hit go and you can just watch it run.
I have to ask, I have not seen even small pick and place machines for less than $30,000. How is it that you've got the price point of this so low? And actually, I guess we should ask, what is the price point of the Chipsetter 1?
This machine, after our Kickstarter campaign, this machine will be $6,000 US MSRP. It'll come with seven feeders, including two cut tape trays, a tube feeder, and all the nozzles you'll need. But our Kickstarter campaign is live right now, and there's 40% off early bird discount, 33% off, and 25% off. So there's some major savings to be had to help us reach our goal.
Now, obviously, the customers who would be most interested in this would be Makerspaces, who would want this right alongside their industrial-level 3D printing machines and CNCs. But who else do you see getting one of these, especially at this low price point? Is this in the reach, do you think, of that that small basement workroom maker?
Well, we've sold machines to universities, definitely Makerspaces, and small design firms. But we know that the problem of small components is only getting worse. And we know that people like us have wanted this machine. So we think that definitely we can reach everyone who wants to make great things.
I tell you, this is one of the coolest pieces of tech I've seen at the fair. Thank you very much for sharing with us. Once again, please tell them where they find you, where they get to your Kickstarter, and where they can start picking and placing.
So you can reach us at chipsetter.com/KS to reach our Kickstarter campaign. Thank you.
And I, for one, welcome our pick-and-place robotic overlords.
There you go. What do you think about that? I mean, because I thought it was a fantastic piece of equipment. For $6,000, is that worth it?
Well, depends on what you mean by worth it. If I were trying to do a production run of boards or getting into a chip fabrication house or had a makerspace or something like that, absolutely. Am I going to be sinking $6,000 on one of those in my personal house for assembly? Probably not. Right. But that is definitely an impressive component. I like how they were talking about the setup time being a raging pain. Mm-hmm. So they just made it the feeders cheap enough that you can just have a feeder for every component instead of having to put your reels into all the feeders all the time. Yeah. That was really cool.
I mean, that's what I liked about it. So you didn't see it because the cameraman didn't cover it, but they actually have a rack. So they had all their components. And so you would basically go down your list, your little menu of components that you needed for any given project. You would pull them off the rack and just plug them in. That's cool. I love that.
The other thing that they said that really interested me was the software. The one of the hardest parts of it is, I mean, the putting the reels in and everything is kind of a physical pain in the butt. But the real pain in the butt is getting the coordinates of what component goes where and making sure that your board when you place it in the pick and place machine is keyed correctly so that it knows, you know, where the 0-0 corner is on your board and where everything is on that, especially after you panelize and all kinds of fun things. So I liked hearing them say that they were doing the software side of things, that you just take the files you've already got out of your CAD program and import them into their software, and it will generate all the files that their device needs. That was the other epic thing that I saw in that video.
Brian, again, because he wants to prove that he's the prettiest, he's got his board over here. He wants me to pass a little bit of current through it to see if it lights up. So I'm pushing 2.4 volts. And Brian, let's see what you got. Okay, that lights.
Cool. What am I?
Yes, yes, yes.
Uh-oh.
Wait. Yes. Cool. All right, good job. Well done.
Nicely done.
Now, in the meantime, I got a few more done. I mean, I don't know. I just...
Yeah. How many did you get done?
All of them. Okay, so let's do the back now. When
all
I'm doing
them?
This... I told you, man, I go into turbo mode.
Uh-huh.
It's what I do.
Can you show me those LEDs again for a second?
Yeah, see? Look, it's awesome, right?
So there were all of them.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It worked really well.
If it makes you feel better to lie, that's okay. That's...
I am a priest. Of course it makes me feel better to lie. All right, so I think the most complicated component now is going to be the IC, because everything else from the caps to the resistors they're just, the standard two soldering position. Right. Now, this has a notch.
Yes,
where do I line that up on the chip? Is there
notice
there
the
be
little,
a notch?
There, some chips have notches, but also look at the top surface. You'll notice that there is a dot.
Ooh, there we go.
That is your pin one. The notch also signifies pin one.
Okay, so correct. It goes like this. But yeah. I mean, I can't do this like before. Do I just pre-tin one of these pads, or how do I
exactly? Place this?
Okay, so just one.
So I usually pre-tin one of the corners on the side by where my soldering iron is, right? And then I move the chip in, and that one pad will be enough to hold the chip in place while you solder the other pads. And I will typically go for the opposite corner second so that it's held in place by the two corners. And then from there, it's easy enough to solder all the individual pads.
So just like that.
Mm-hmm. And you probably don't even need the tweezers. You can just push it in with your finger.
I hear Burke yelling at me, so he doesn't like what I'm doing. All right, so just line this mamma jamma up and then reflow.
Mm-hmm. And push it in place.
I can't tell if he's yelling at you to stop or if he needs help. Thing on the top.
We've got it, Burke.
Push it over a little bit more. It's kind of leaning over, it's not centered.
Oh, okay.
Left to right.
And seriously, you can see better than I can. So I will trust
you. I believe it.
I will trust you. There we go. Like so.
Except that now it looks a little bit too high.
Oh, man.
But you're getting close. You're getting very close. And I also believe you that I can see better than you can.
How's that?
And you've gone too far.
Oh, my. Bad mamma jamma. Okay.
There you go.
There we go. Huh?
I told
him. And then what you would suggest is I get this other corner so that it kind of holds everything in.
Correct.
All right. So flip this around. I'm not going to say I've done this before, but when I did do this before, I had a huge magnifying glass in front of me. That really did help. Do you use a magnifying glass, or are you like Brian and you just have super eyes?
I do not have super eyes. The magnifying glass tends to give me a headache if I try to look through it for too long while I'm working. I use the magnifier for checking my work afterwards, but I don't tend to work through the magnifying glass.
Okay, that was, wow, that was ugly.
But. So, okay, I'm going to give you one more piece of advice.
Yes, please do that.
I highly recommend that you invest in some solder wick.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because when you solder that. Wick is literally wick. It's a mesh piece of little strip of copper, copper mesh that is a wick, just like a wick in a candle, right? It's kind of this woven copper, and it is impregnated with flux. And so the whole idea is that you set this on top of a solder joint that you want to take the solder away. And then you come in with your soldering iron and you heat the solder wick. I'm trying to do this so you can still see my face. So you can heat the solder wick and then that heats the solder underneath it and it literally wicks away. Oh, you've got some. Look at that. Cut that off, man. Because once you've actually heated up a piece of solder wick, all of the flux is gone and it won't work anymore. So you have to go with a clean... No, I'm serious. Cut off the piece of solder wick.
Well, I would, except Burke didn't give me a clipper.
Oh, Burke ran in with the solder wick?
Burke ran in with the solder wick. He's got everything back there. And seriously, this entire episode, he's been yelling at us. We don't really understand. We just know Burke's displeased.
Yeah, well, I'm being polite because I have a microphone. Cut. Is he coming around to set you straight?
Yeah. He said it's because the last rookie who used his solder wick did not cut it off.
And he made direct eye contact with me. I'm not sure why. Strange.
I thought it was Alex. Wasn't Alex the last one to use his wick?
It probably was.
Because Alex was trying to learn how to do SMD.
Yeah. It probably was Alex.
Now, I've done this in a pinch with just some extra wire and some flux. That's basically the same thing, right? It'll just wick
away.
Yeah,
pretty much. The solder wick is, it's designed for it, and it does a better job of literally wicking away solder.
All right.
But...
I'm going to keep working on this. Why don't you go ahead and take a look at what Brian is doing?
Well, I'm still working on my LEDs. I've got two more down here on the row to do.
But, okay. Those are looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think they're coming along pretty well. I don't know. One thing that I did notice, it's been a lot easier for me, obviously, as I'm getting more used to going down the row. But... Mm-hmm. To like hold down the component with the tweezers just a touch and then lightly touch the solder and get it to lay flat now. So
mm-hmm.
they're getting better as I go.
Yeah. Looks really good.
Thank you.
Looks better than Padres.
Okay, yeah. So I got a little bit of work done into mine. So yeah, I got most of my components on. Because I didn't have the camera on me, so I was able.
Yeah, to. Yeah, wow, you're really quick when you you're trying.
Exactly. So I got the ICs placed. I got all the resistors placed. This connector actually.
Hang on. Who's TDing? Can you zoom in on that chip for me, please?
Enhance. Zoom.
Enhance.
Oh wow!
What,
dude? That is what we call a cold solder joint.
Which one?
All of them. Oh. Look at that entire side. Those are not even like in the solder.
No, they totally are. They're happy. They're totally happy. They are.
Don't worry, Padre. Your tears will help them stay together.
My tears make Smitty laugh. That's what my tears do.
Yeah, they're holy tears, and you just kind of dribble them on the pads.
Work. We can check. We can see. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and give power to this thing and see how it goes. Oh, hey, see? I mean, right?
Yeah. That's what we call lucky.
You have no idea.
That's a professional term.
Now, one of the things that I did just now when I put all these components together was I actually left the speaker off because that thing is annoying. That is a horrible, horrible sounding speaker. So just don't even put that in the kit. Oh, actually, look, I do have a cold solder joint right there. That one's not lighting.
Look at that one.
Oh, well, fix
it's
it.
Because you did it so fast.
I know. Rushing. Well, you know, I'm not used to soldering so quickly, Smitty.
That's how you fix it, Padre.
It's that one right there. So all I got to do is reflow, correct?
Maybe. Depends on what the problem is, but yeah.
Oh, God. I almost just shot one of the LEDs across the mat.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I just made it worse.
Well, I'm actually impressed that it was able to move with only heating up one side. That means that the other side.
Yes, we all see it, Smitty. Thanks. Yeah, no, I was actually kind of impressed too. I'm like, that shouldn't be moving. So, in other words, it was only making contact because it was held in tension. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
that was bad.
What we need to do is we need to schedule a time for me to come up to Petaluma and do this in person with you guys.
Because
doing it over Skype is
it's not fun. We want our Smitty.
Well, I would love to be your Smitty in person where you can actually punch me because let's be honest, some of my comments justify it.
Smitty, I mean I have a very realistic view of my skills and I understand my stuff is busted.
Actually, no. I'd like is if you're here in person, we could do like a solder off and see how much faster and better Smitty does.
No, let's not do that. That would be embarrassing. Seriously. I've seen Smitty. I've been in the Hardware Hacking Village for years, and I've seen what he can do. I mean, I aspire to be half as good as he is.
Uh-oh. I just lost one of my headphones.
Mm-hmm. It's because of the priestly curse.
It's back.
Oh. Okay, you know what's a good way to fix this? Mm-hmm. What if you just take the component off entirely and have it stick to the tweezers?
That's a good option. I'm a fan of that option.
That worked. And Burke is still yelling at me. Shut up, Burke!
Padre, stop. Yeah. Get the solder wick.
Oh, yeah.
Take the solder off at least one of those two pads.
Good call. I think that's what Burke was yelling at me.
And don't use just the tip of the wick because lift it up. There we go. And leave it on there for a good 5 seconds.
Yeah, I can actually feel when it starts actually, sinking down into the solder puddle.
And leave it there for a good 5 seconds after it's sunk into the solder puddle. There you go.
And that's looking pretty good. Actually might be the right amount of solder.
That is the right amount of solder, yes.
So removing all that excess stuff just got me back to neutral.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was well done, Padre. Good done. You know what you should not do? You should not just fling the little LED lights everywhere.
Well, it depends on what you're going for, really.
Is that an LED light or is that just some debris from the mat? I can't tell.
I think that's an LED.
I think it's an LED. Okay. But which side is... of course, it's backwards because it would be too easy if I had it the right side up. All right. Here we go. Oh, there's got to be a better way to do this, Smitty. Seriously, this is a pain in my tuchus.
This is fun.
Okay. So, again, you've got cameras on you. You've got, like, a big microphone in front of you. You've got two large of a solder. I want you to be careful with the bemoaning it too much, because yeah, it can be challenging, and yeah, it's a different technique, but you know, there's already a large stigma about surface mount soldering that makes a lot of people not even want to try. And I want to be careful that we don't go too far down that path, right?
Yeah.
It is doable, and it does take some time, and it does take some skill that is, you know, it's a different skill set than through-hole soldering. But it is still totally doable.
I'm enjoying myself.
I lost which I couldn't find which component it was.
Oh, got it.
Can okay. I do this with power still applied? I should probably not do that, right?
Burke is dying right now.
Oh man, I lost it again. Which one is it? Wait, okay, that one. All right, there.
Do you want to use a little pencil to mark it off?
No, I don't need it. My memory is perfect.
Mm-hmm. You said the component's probably.
The component is not dead. The component works. You know how I know it works? Because I. Oh wait.
You sure it's Burking?
I think I put it backwards. Actually, I may have put it backwards. Okay, well, you know, I didn't want that one. Okay, so it was just cold. It did not separate from the pad. So this is
hey.
Look at that. Huh?
That's snaz.
That's totally snaz. And yes, my IC is barely held on there by hopes and dreams, but it is enough to give me functionality. And so,
I'm
Brian, how are you doing? I mean, that, you know, it took me that long.
I know. I'm really impressed at how fast you're able to get yours working, because I haven't even completed my second row yet.
Yeah, I mean, because it's totally not like I actually had three different boards for the different phases of this project. I would never do that. That'd be cheating.
Through the magic of internet.
Oh, Smitty, it's been a pleasure. Is there any last bits of wisdom that you'd like to give to our audience about any of these things? Because, I mean, it's not just about SMD. It's about using these kits to figure out what they're going to do when they move past the kits. Because the kits are fun, but when you actually start designing your own projects, that's when it really becomes interesting.
Yeah. Let's see here. Don't be afraid to give it a try, right? I mean, we've been having fun today. We've been having fun mocking Padre because, you know, he's in a kind of a contrived circumstance trying to do this on camera and quickly and all that fun stuff, right? But the reality is that this is absolutely attainable by anyone, by everyone, right? It does require a little bit of special tooling. You need a soldering iron with a fine tip. You need some tweezers with a fine tip. If you don't have, you know, a 15-year-old's eyesight, then you might need a magnifier to be able to see things. But those are not very expensive. Chances are you already have a soldering iron, so another tip, a finer tip, is not going to be all that much. The tweezers are just a couple of bucks, right? So the equipment is stuff that you might already have, and if you don't, you can attain pretty easily. I recommend starting with larger surface mount components, 1206s if you can, you know, not some of the little tiny things. You know, start out with some of these kits. This one is an awful lot of components, and they seem to be awfully small. So that is probably an ambitious kit to start out with. But start out with a kit where it's not the end of the world if it doesn't function, and that's a good way to learn, right? And that just kind of it's exercise. What is exercise? The definition of exercise is you're doing something that you don't really need to do. It doesn't really accomplish anything, but the act of doing it improves you in some way, right? Weightlifting, you're picking up heavy objects and putting them down again, right? That doesn't actually accomplish anything except that it makes your muscles stronger. It makes you better at what it is you're trying to accomplish. So the boards that Brian and Padre are doing right now are exercise, right? Okay, you've got some blinky lights, right? Yeah, does that accomplish something? Yes, no, maybe. But what you're doing is you're exercising and you are practicing and honing your skills. And I think that is very useful. So start out with some kits like that where the success or failure of the actual kit itself is not critical. And then move on to doing kits that are, you know, where you do actually care a lot more about the outcome of the kit itself. And then maybe when you're doing your own project and you're starting to do some layout, you know, if you do it with through-hole components, the board is this big. But if you do it with surface mount components, the board is this big. And that saves you a lot of money and a lot of real estate on board fabrication costs, right? And you can get away with these things because you are now no longer afraid of surface mount. It takes a little bit of exercise. Don't be afraid to dive in there and try it out. And you might surprise yourself. It's good stuff.
And I will say this. I'm going to put a link into the show notes. There is another kit that's like this, but it uses much larger components. In fact, all the LEDs are on blocks. So rather than having to install each and every single LED, you install the block. That's probably a good way to go by it. It has all the same stuff on the back, so you still will learn SMD. But, you know, I think there are very few things that are more disheartening than attempting a kit like this and then failing miserably and then not ever trying it again.
So yeah,
perhaps, I think you're right. Try something a little less ambitious just so you can get a success. Because once you get a success, success breeds success. You're going to want to do the next one and the next one and the next one. And before you know it, you're creating your own stuff and you have a pick and place machine in your home lab.
Oh, balls.
Oh, did you lose one of the carpet?
It tore. I was just about to say, like, you know, it really wasn't that bad, Padre. Just be patient, take your time. And then I just shot one off onto the floor.
It's you're never going to find that. You know that, right?
No, I'll find it.
No, it's gone.
You can just pull one off of one of your other boards that you've, the ones that don't work.
Desolder it from this one. Which, by the way, your placement of the IC is so much better than mine. And mine works, but I don't know how it's actually working. Because, yes.
I am impressed with that, how those all contact. They're just like on the surface of the bubble. You know, here's the solder pad, and it's just like kind of laying on top of it.
It's
right?
Like the magical IC unicorn. No, it's gone.
It's totally gone. Yeah. There's too many things on the floor that look like it.
folks, we want to thank you for joining us for this special edition of Let's Solder of Know How. And that means we also thank Smitty. Smitty, it is always great to have you on. Please tell us where people can find you. You actually do your own thing now.
I do my own thing. I actually have something to plug this time. So I am Smitty Halibut on Twitter. It's usually the best place to find me in a, you know, to tell me what's going on with you. Smitty Halibut. Come hit me up there. Tell me what you guys are working on. Tell me, because I get it charged up by seeing what you are doing, right? I love hearing what other people are working on. But I also have a YouTube channel where if you are interested in seeing how, seeing the process of laying out a circuit and laying out a circuit board and that kind of stuff. I live stream the work on projects that I'm working on. And so they tend to be rather long. They are unedited. And so, you know, I admit it's not for everyone. But if you are interested in the process and seeing how that kind of stuff works, search for Smitty Halibut on YouTube. I'm there and I've got a bunch of videos. They're in playlists based on the project itself. So you can kind of see from the very beginning of one project all the way through to the end. If you're curious but not sure you'd want to dive into something, I recommend starting out with the wall clock stream, the playlist. The wall clock is, I did it in a single 2-hour episode from a blank canvas describing the project all the way through to a ordered board. And it's kind of a good self-contained standalone project that you can watch in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, if you want to see someone who actually does the things that we pretend to do really well, that's definitely going to be Smitty. Smitty, thank you again. Now, people can actually find you. You're going to be at DEF CON this year, yes?
I will be at DEF CON, yes.
Okay, and you're working on something special, hopefully, I think.
Actually, no, not for DEF CON. I have no agenda for DEF CON for the first time in probably 12 years.
Doesn't that feel nice? I think you're just going to go and enjoy
it. It does.
Yeah. You're just going to hang out. You're going to maybe to the talks. But for me, DEF CON is mostly about just seeing people that I only see maybe once or twice a year.
Community. It's all about the community. Yeah,
it really is. So
100% agree.
If you happen to be anywhere near Las Vegas for what are the dates of DEF CON this year? I know it's in July rather than August.
End of July. Yeah, I don't remember the dates off the top of my head.
Look it up, defcon.org. Go sign up. You're going to find Smitty. Are you going to be walking around in the kilt this year?
I have new kilts this year, so it's entirely possible.
All right.
But that doesn't really narrow it down because there are a lot of us in kilts.
That's true.
Hit me up on Twitter. Tell me where you're at. We'll do a meetup.
Absolutely. Now, don't forget, folks, that if you want to find out anything about this episode, the soldering irons that we're using, where you can find the kits, and yes, the link to the easier kit, you're going to get that at our show notes. Brian, where do they put their show notes?
Oh, you can find that over at twit.tv/KH. And not only will you find the notes and the links for everything that we worked on today, but you'll also find a way to download or subscribe to the episode.
Which is always good. And if you have any questions or concerns, or if you want to share your experience with working with SMD, you're going to want to do it in our community on Google Plus. Just go to Google Plus, look for KnowHow. The very short joining process so we can keep out the spam accounts. But once you're in, you get access to over 11,000 Kitas. That's our know-it-alls. These are people who are in every stage of their maker journey, from beginner to expert. You can come in, ask questions. If you're an expert, answer questions. Or maybe you just want to give us pictures of your projects, of your drone flying, whatever it might be. Put it in there, and who knows, it might end up on the show. Again, go to Google Plus and look for KnowHow.
That's right. But if you want to follow us and see what we might be working on outside of KnowHow or what we have coming up on future projects, the best place to do that is on Twitter. And I am at @cranky_hippo.
And you're going to find me at @PadreSJ. And we've got a third member of our crew today who
who's dying.
Spreading the plague.
Aww.
Anthony Nielsen. Anthony, we're not joking. That's not for show. He's had that on the entire day.
Yeah, I have a... maybe a low running fever at the moment, but
yeah. See, that's dedication right there, though.
Well, we've got Burke down the hall yelling at us, and we've got Anthony who's like coughing up bits in the lung. So yeah, this has been a very strange episode of KnowHow. Anthony, can you tell the people where they can find you?
Well, you get a. I work on the new Screensavers Getting segment, so if you're interested, go watch that show.
Yeah, watch the new Screensavers. Yeah. Wait, you have a Twitter account, don't you?
Yeah, A. Nielsen.
Follow Anthony. Mm-hmm. You should.
We are all going to have the plague.
I just want to go to sleep, you guys.
Yeah, I got you.
Let's draw this episode out some more.
Hey, you know what? Actually, Smitty, let's do it. I've got an extra kit. Let's another one.
I'm going to finish the board.
I'm in. Mail it to me. I'll get started right now.
Until next time, I am Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And that is Mark Smitty Halibut Smith. And now that you know how.
Go SMD it.
Jeez. Be good humans.